You're listening to Voice Actor Showcase, episode number 22. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Voice Actor Showcase, a podcast about voice actors and their stories. I'm Jun Yoon. Connect with us. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Voice Actor Show. You can also listen to these episodes on YouTube, youtube.com/voicemoto. The Voice Actor Showcase is about the voice actors on their journey to realize the dream of becoming an established voice actor. We're interested in sharing the stories of countless voice actors around the world who are working hard to make their dream a reality. Whether they just learned how to set levels yesterday or recently completed their first voiceover workshop. Now, if you have an interesting story and you're just now discovering the wonders of installing different tubes in your Avalon 737, I'd love to have you on the show. Please contact us by visiting voiceactorshowcase.com. And while you're there, please check out the store and pick up an introverted voice actor shirt or a brand new Record Get Money Get Tacos t-shirt for yourself or for your favorite voice actor. Of course, the sales from the stores will go to supporting the show as well as paying the voice actors in future episodes. Today, we'll meet a voice actor from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Recently retired in 2018, he's been on a long and interesting journey. Living out his childhood dream, he has spent many years at sea, working on various ships in various capacities and traveling to all kinds of places around the world. With his extensive knowledge, he would eventually end up as a teacher, teaching students about nautical sciences until his retirement in 2018, when his passion in music and music production would lead him to discover audiobook narration. He has a number of albums out for his music, as well as a number of audiobooks under his belt. His latest audiobook project, Target of Envy, Boss Your Life Up by the author King Benjamin, is slated for release in March of 2020. Please welcome JC.
Someone told me a long time ago that you get new cells every 7 years, but I can't for the life of me remember who. It's a lie anyway. You don't get to be a whole new person after just a few years. Actually, some of your white blood cells only last a couple of hours before they're replaced. They're called neutrophils. Can you believe I learned that back in school? I was studying for the boards then, in psychology, and we took a detour through anatomy. I remember it like it was yesterday. The cells lining the gut get replaced every week or so, and the cells in your taste buds don't even last that long. Maybe that explains why I started liking tomatoes in my 30s. Sometimes there are things you think you know about yourself, but they don't stay true very long. Your skeleton lasts a lot longer. The cells of the spine slowly get replaced over the course of 10 years. That's enough time to get married, get a new job, move to the suburbs. You'd think you'd feel the change as it happens. You'd think you'd notice the cells dying and coming back new and different. But you don't. It all flies by and you barely even register it. In any case, the idea of being given a bright, shiny new body every 7 years is pure fantasy. It's a dream to imagine yourself without the sags and the ticks and the little creaks of pain at the joints. Anyone past the age of 60 can tell you that. Here's why it's all a lie, though. Some cells never get replaced at all. It's true. The cells in your brain are yours to keep your whole life. They never regenerate. They never get replaced. Never, ever. So when the neurons and synapses in my cerebral cortex fail, there will be no second-string cells to take their place. They'll simply snuff out like a bedroom window going dark. The cells that hold the memories of hash browns frying in the cast-iron skillet, of Carl's gentle, calloused old hands, of Maggie's sweet, apple-cheeked smile, gone, irreplaceable. The temporal and parietal lobes will be in similar trouble as they atrophy into pudding. No fresh-faced intern cells will appear suddenly as replacements. My diagnosis is similarly inflexible. I have roughly 7 years until the degeneration shuts down my main bodily functions and I die. Not that surviving is the important part. By that point, I'll be a quivering mass of gibbering nonsense. I won't know my own wife or child or grandchildren. I suppose I'll be a completely different person.
JC, hello, sir. How are you? Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, hey, it's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere. I think that's a Keith Richards line, and they're from the Stones. Yes, thanks. Thanks so much, June. It's good to be here.
I love it. Let's dive right into it. First, I'm curious, what's the story behind the name JC?
Oh, it's really simple. You know, years ago on one of these music websites, you know, I was trying to establish an account and it wouldn't take my real name. You know, my initials are JC. And so finally the automatic, you know, suggestion window popped up with J-A-C-E-E. And there weren't a bunch of digits behind it like all the others. So I said, well, I'm just going to grab that. And that just stuck. You know, that just stuck. And later we named, you know, JC and the Jag. So it's JC. Yeah. J-A-C-E-E.
Let's talk about you as a young man. Now, please tell us where you grew up. What was the family like? And most importantly, what kind of kid were you?
I grew up and down the East Coast, USA. And, you know, New England and some of the southern states. And I think I had a great childhood. I have, you know, no regrets about my childhood. I think it was really good. I think I've been very fortunate. I got to do all the things a typical boy does. You know, I climbed everything, trees. I got into all kinds of mischief. I even once jumped a freight train and rode a freight train for a while and wound up having a coal fight because it was a coal train with another gang of kids. And you know that, so I had all the, I think I had a great childhood.
Most voice actors that I've talked to so far had always had some kind of an influence from their childhood, whether it be video games or cartoons or movies or whatever. What kind of creative outlet or influences did you experience as a kid?
Yeah, it was definitely music and, you know, and just, you know, creativity. You know, I was painting when I was a boy. I was writing stories and poems when I was a boy. But the music, you know, was always there. And I was always fascinated with music. And so I've just always kind of pursued that. But I've always been, you know, what's the cutesy word now? You know, a creative instead of, you don't say I'm an artist, you say I'm a creative, you know. So I'd say the music was always an influence.
Who's your favorite band?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about that the other day. You know, one of my very earliest memories is Bacharach and David and Dionne Warwick doing Walk On By. I was given a cassette player, one of these old plastic cassette players back in the 60s, and I can see it now and hear it now, and that was one of my earliest songs. And you know, and then of course I've been the Beatles have influenced me greatly, and pop songs starting in the 60s and just right on through. But other influences, Ray Davis or Ray Davies from the Kinks, and Francis Lay and John Barry, you know, the guy that writes the Bond hits. And nice. He's passed, rest in peace. But anyway, yeah, so the music was always there for me.
Graduating from high school, you had two choices. You could go work at a ranch and be a cowboy, or you could go work on a ship and be a sailor. And then you chose the sea. Tell us that story.
You know, so I was in my, like, you know, early 20s or, you know, 19 or 20 or something like that. And that was it. I was either, you know, I knew I wanted to chase a dream. And so I, you know, it was either going to be a cowboy out west or I would sail off into the sunset on a wooden ship. It had to be a wooden vintage ship, a tall ship. And so I decided to do that. I went up to Maine. They have those wind jammers up there, those vintage wind jammers up in Camden, Maine. And I walked up to one of the owners and I said, I'm here to be a mate on one of your vessels. And he handed me a scraper and he put me under a hull and I scraped barnacles for the first season.
Wow.
Of sailing. And then finally he let me on top of that. I got to sail during a season as a deckhand, and I just kept going from there, and I never looked back, and I've just been a sailor, you know, since my really, I guess, mid-20s, you know, is when it really started. And so I chased the dream, and I've been so lucky, June, that I was able to live that kind of life. It was a great life.
And for how long have you done that? And what kind of work does being a sailor entail? Tell us, I know you have stories, right, about living in the sea and traveling and sailing. Tell us a few of those.
Well, geez, I sailed for 25 years, basically. But wow. I started on the tall ships because I was fascinated with the whole yo-ho-ho thing, you know. I sailed around, you know, almost around the world on a barkentine as crew. I became a ship's carpenter. And I did that all through my, my middle and, you know, and into 20s and early 30s. And then I got into the Merchant Marine. Somebody said, hey, man, your pirate days are over. You know, you can't make a living being, you know, on these wooden tall ships, sailing, you know, all over the world on these things. So I joined the U.S. Merchant Marine. You know, the Brits call it the Merchant Navy. And I wound up, you know, on oil tankers. And I worked my way up the ranks, getting, you know, a higher license every few years. And I finished off, with a chief mate's license, you know, unlimited tonnage, which is the number two spot. I didn't continue to get the master's license. I stopped with the first officer's license, and that was enough. And it was fantastic. Oil tankers in and out of Alaska, Valdez, you know, and then the West Coast. And then I did container ships for years. I was on container ships all over the world, and so it was a great It was a great way of life. But all along, I had the music, and the music was always there.
What's the toughest part of living out at sea?
I guess being away. You know, it's funny. I've always said, when I'm at sea, after a while, I just yearn and yen for land. You know, we'd be at anchor in some harbor, and I'd be seeing the lights of the city and the cars driving around, and I would just want to be there. And then when I'd get back to land for a few months, I'd get fed up with land and want to go back to sea. And so it was that endless circle like that, you know.
A vicious cycle.
Yeah. But so I've always said, sailors, we worship the land and the sea. We have a real appreciation for the whole thing, you know.
And talking about lands, I'm sure you visited many, many, many countries around the world. What are some memorable places that you have visited and some cool stories, if you have any?
Well, I always think of Cape Town, South Africa. You know, I was, this was in my early career on the vintage ships. And we took this barkentine in there on a, we were part of a festival. And I got off, I jumped ship. I'd been with them for 10 months, and I met a tall, statuesque, and I wound up staying there for, several months. And it was, so I always think of Cape Town when I think of some, but I've been many interesting places. So lots of stories, it was a great way of life. Yes, I've been in, severe storms, never went through a hurricane, but I've been right on the edges of them. And one interesting thing is, I forget the exact year, one of those tsunamis, that was so destructive. We were out there in the South China Sea, and it went right under us. Now we didn't feel it, but we knew that the shock wave, the wave had gone under us. Anyway, yeah, so those kinds of things. It's a good way of life. I recommend it to, anybody who wants adventure and to see the world.
What's the trick to not being seasick?
Well, even when I would go out after being, back for a few months and going out again, I would take some Dramamine, for the first couple of days just to take the edge off. But even the saltiest sailors can get seasick. Now, after you've been out there for a while, then it really goes away. When you're out there for months at a time, it's gone. It's usually just the first few days where, you got to get your equilibrium sorted out,
That's how that works. Well, after getting your sea legs, you got your land legs back. You came back home in 2012. If you don't mind me asking, how old were you by then? And what were the reasons for ending your life and your stint out at sea?
Yeah, well, I started basically like in my mid-20s. I started, going on sailing vessels. And then, then it really took off in my late 20s. I finished up. In 2012 was my last merchant ship. I got out because of the stress, basically. I got fed up with the manning levels were so reduced. My last ship, I was everything. I was the medical officer. I was in charge of the navigation of the ship. and that was just the beginning. And so the stress really got to me. And so finally I decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to start doing the creative stuff full time. And that's what I did. And I also had a teaching career that was running parallel, you know, to my shipping.
And I like to talk about that. You ended one stressful career and started another stressful career.
No, not really, because I'd been teaching all along. So, you know, I'd be out at sea for several months, and then I'd be right back and I'd be in the classroom teaching basically, you know, nautical sciences and that kind of thing, mostly navigation. But when I left in 2012, the ships formally, and then I went into, I started teaching full time. And I finished that in 2018, and that's when I really put the spurs, hung up the spurs, and went full time into a creative period that I hope comes and goes, you know.
And you went full into the creative stuff. Now, as you said, music had been a part of your life this whole time, but now you have all the time to really get into it. Tell us some stories about you as a musician, right? Some of the achievements, memories. Impactful stories, perhaps.
Basically, I started recording full time. You know, when I got off that last ship, 2012 is when I started recording full time. Anyway, JC and the Jags, if you want to hear my music, JACEE, you know, and the Jags, and one of my pals came up with that name, the Jags, and so yeah, I've got a bunch of albums out. I do pop rock original music, and I hope you like it. And it's kind of retro sounding. I do jazz, I do rock, I do just a lot of different types of music. And so I've been doing that, but then I discovered voiceover. So then somebody said, JC, look, you should be doing voiceover work.
Now, I want you to know that Michael Goodrick from an earlier episode in this podcast is also a musician turned audiobook narrator, and his transition from music into audiobook was pretty seamless. He had the equipment, he had the ability, and he just sat down and got started. I'd like to hear your story about you making that transition into the voiceover realm, specifically into audiobooks, and how you got started in all of this.
Right. Well, someone had said, JC, you've got to, get into audio and audiobooks specifically. And so I quickly discovered, Amazon ACX. And so I already had the equipment. I had the equipment. I had microphones and preamps and amps. And anyway, so I was all set to go. So I just started learning the requirements that, ACX and Amazon have for their audiobook producer site. And it took me several months to get the specs right. But I finally got a formula, that seems to work for me.
How do you like working as an audiobook narrator?
I think it's great because it's a great outlet, a creative outlet. I'm able to act, which is, I'm enjoying acting and trying to bring characters to life in the audio form. It's another art form. My idea is, and I don't think it's a new idea, is that, one of my songs can serve as a theme song for a book, and a lot of these Pulp Fiction authors are doing series. So they'll have one set of characters go through five different books. And then, they call them a part, they call them a book one, book two. So I'm thinking I could lend my music to these characters in these books, and they could have their own theme songs.
And offering more value, too. Not only are you an audiobook narrator, you're also a musician, offering kind of like a package deal.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, and, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, then let's talk about your books. So far, you have three books under your belt. The travelogue about St. Petersburg, a dark romantic suspense novel, and a vampire horror book called Dracula's Demeter. Tell us about working on those three books, please.
Well, it was great. First was the travelogue, I started with something shorter so I could test the waters and learn the ropes there. And it's an interesting kind of a travel book, audio companion for being a tourist in St. Petersburg, Russia. And Russia's in the news these days, right? And then, Dracula's Demeter. Doug Lamoureux is the author. Next chapter publishing, and it's a terrific original work based on the Dracula book by Bram Stoker, And the Demeter was the name of the ship that in the original Bram Stoker novel, Demeter was the name of the ship that took Dracula to England. And so it's a sea tale as well. Yeah, and so there's that. And then The Perfect Fake is a mafia romance kind of thing, a thriller. So that's basically it. So now I'm working on another thriller called Target Envy, Boss Your Life Up, and it's a thriller. It's hip-hop. It's a hip-hop novel is what it is. And I'm having fun doing it. The author, said, go for it, you know, JC.
Now, you live in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Just last year, working on my travel show, I had a chance to visit Wellfleet, that's near you. And I had a great time sailing and eating Wellfleet oysters. Oh my God, they're good. I'd love to hear a local's perspective. What's life like in Cape Cod?
It's a great place to live. I kind of miss the West Coast. I used to spend a lot of time on the West Coast. I miss the mountains and that kind of rugged sea. It's not the same as Maine, you know, the West Coast, California, I kind of miss it. But the Cape is gorgeous, and it has a long history here, and it's a but it has a rugged beauty to it, the salt marshes are really gorgeous. These endless salt marshes are really gorgeous, and the water, of course, is soothing. Yeah, it's a beautiful place. It's a privilege. I'm very fortunate to be here.
All right, now following questions I ask everybody: what equipment are you currently using, and what did you start out with, and maybe even what do you have for upgrades in the future?
Well, right now I'm using the Rode NT1A. It's their signature edition, or their their anniversary edition, you know. Anyway, so you know, it's a cardioid, you know, envelope there that I like, you know. But so far I'm happy with this Rode. Anyway, I started out, my first thing was the DBX, you know, 286S. Everybody said you gotta have one, right? So I started out with that preamp, and then people started recommending the Focusrite little preamp, and so I went to that, and then I either use Logic Pro, as a digital workstation, or Audacity, and I always plug Audacity. It's open source software, so you know, if you're using it, you know, I send them a few bucks every quarter, you know, because it's open source and it's a fantastic bit of kit of software. And so I'm able to mix down, equalize, you know, get the compression, get all the levels right using Audacity or Logic Pro. And so that's basically my setup. And, you know, of course, you know, I've got external hard drives everywhere, you know, to make sure we don't lose anything.
I think it's super great that you contribute to the development and continued upgrade of the Audacity program. So many voice actors out there that I talk to use Audacity, and that's what they start out with. That's what they're currently using, and it's free, like you said, right? They made it available for everybody to use, and I think that's super great. And I think it's even more great that you contribute to the continuation of that software. So, on behalf of other voice actors out there, thank you. What are some short-term and long-term goals for you, personal as well as professional?
I see. Well, I want to continue with voiceover. I love this art form, and so I'm hoping I can do some other books. And so that's the goal, is to get another audiobook. And wouldn't it be nice if a celebrity, you know, would reach out and say, hey, will you do my book? Or, you know, a well-known, wouldn't it be nice if a Tom Clancy or, a well-known author would say, hey, let this JC voice guy try reading one of my novels. And then on the music side, the perfect pop song. I mean, that's what we're always chasing. I'm always chasing a perfect pop song, if I can make it, you know. Oh, and, you know, naturally, Juna, you know, I wish somebody in L.A. would hear one of my songs and say, hey, I want that song in my next TV show. I mean, that would be would be the goal, you know.
I'm sure it'll happen one day. And your goal is to keep chugging on and keep doing what you're doing, right? And it's going to happen. Of course it will.
That's it, you know. And so, you know, so just, yeah, we keep going, June, don't we? And just put the stuff out there.
All right, just go with me here, JC. It's been a long day. You've been narrating in your booth for like 8 hours now, and you forgot dinner altogether because it's got to get turned in. So you open up your drink cabinet. What's in there? What do you pull out?
Oh, my God. I am so boring, June. Okay, I'm a coffee nut. I mean, I'm a coffee-holic, and I'm drinking instant coffee all day, instant. I'm not snobby with coffee. I don't do the beans. I used to on the ships all the time. I used to carry my own instant coffee on the ships. I've been drinking one brand of coffee for like 30 years. That's the drug of choice.
All right, I'll take that. So, JC, what's next? What do you have coming up? And where do you go from here, really? And if the listeners here want to find out more about you and your music and your audiobook, where can they go to find you?
Okay, well, just Google JC Voice, J-A-C-E-E, Voice, V-O-I-C-E, two words, you know, JC Voice, or JC Music, J-A-C-E-E Music, or JC and the Jags. That's my, my musical group that comes and goes. You know, if there's anybody around, they become a Jag, you know, and we record. JC Music, JC Voice, and you'll find my books on audible.com. The books I've narrated. And what's coming up is this hip-hop novel called Target Envy. Boss Your Life Up. Benjamin King is the author of that book. And so I'm looking forward to having that go live on Audible. And I hope people like it. So that's it.
That's fantastic. That's it.
Keep going with the books. Having a ball with voiceover. And that's it. And June, thanks for this opportunity so much.
That's great. Thank you so much for being on today. I appreciate the time.
You're very welcome. Thank you, June.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.